Thank you for listening to the LA Catholic Morning Podcast. To help us broadcast all the good, true, and beautiful, please go to our support page on archangelradio.com.
Time to wake up, Lower Alabama. Ha ha! From the original home of Mardi Gras, moon pies, and more, this is LA Catholic Morning.
Thursday morning's here, which is a great day.
December. This is December.
I know. It feels like December this
it's
morning,
It's a new
too.
Month.
Put on your coat this morning. That hot, humid weather is gone.
I just got accustomed to writing 2022.
Yeah.
And now I got 1 month left.
I know. Yeah, that's how it always goes. Mm-hmm. It takes you longer and longer every year. You know, sometimes, even back when you're young, you finished writing that in January or February. Now it's December 1st. Ugh. Got to learn a new year.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome in. That's Todd Sylvester. I'm Ellen Taylor. Mike Romano and Sherry Jackson's in studio. She's learning the board. Mm-hmm. Whew. Got to have backups for Mikey. Can't have him going down.
Indeed.
Since our
Give him some vitamin C.
Our young ripster is going off to university.
Yeah, can you believe that?
I can't believe. I don't know why he doesn't want to stay at home forever and work at Archangel Radio. I know.
I think he has hopes and dreams.
Yeah, I know. We've enjoyed having him. Anyway, so 1st of December, we got a lot to talk about. We're going to have Dawn up in a moment with our saints for the month.
Nice.
So we'll dive into that. There'll be some great things maybe you forgot about. So we'll open the day in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come to our help with mighty strength, that what our sins impede, the grace of your mercy may hasten. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Here's your book back, Todd. Amen. Thank you so much. We thank our sponsor, Tool Expo, who now has gift cards, the perfect gift for the builder in your life. Tool Expo is geared up for residential, commercial, and industrial contractors' needs with contractor pricing on all screws and nails, construction site delivery, and service. Go to toolexpo.com.
And in world news, a Vatican spokesman said yesterday that the Holy See has taken down its main Vatican.va website amid an apparent attempt to hack the site. Authorities have positively identified Father Otis Young, a local Catholic priest in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, as one of the victims of a double homicide. The pro-life caucus of Colombia's Congress expressed its opposition to a bill that would extend euthanasia to children 6 and older, calling it a new attack against the Colombian family. Singer-songwriter for Fleetwood Mac Christine McVie passed away at 79. Amazon CEO Andy Jassy said yesterday the company does not have plans to stop selling the anti-Semitic film that gained notoriety recently after Brooklyn Nets guard Kyrie Irving tweeted out an Amazon link to it. France is making a push to collect heirloom weapons across the country, and in sports, Messi and Argentina advanced to the World Cup as they beat Poland 2-0.
Poland advanced too, though.
So good, though.
Yeah. And Messi, he's going to go to Miami. That's the rumor.
Really?
Yes. Everyone wants to go to Miami, Todd. Come on.
Wow, that's going to cost a lot of money.
Yeah, I know.
Woo!
Yeah.
Okay, we always look forward to the beginning of the month when Dawn Buettner comes on. You can connect with her at her website at Dawn Buettner, BEUTNER.com. Good morning, Dawn.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So sometimes when you come on, you talk about very obscure saints, but the three saints you want to talk about today, I feel pretty happy. I know all three, so...
Well, good. So every month I try to come up with three saints that are celebrated in that month and that they have something in common.
Oh,
and the
all
three
right.
saints that leaped out me today were for this month were St. Juan Diego, who celebrated on December 9th, St. John of the Cross, who celebrated on December 14th, and St. Catherine Labouré, who is celebrated on December 31st. And do you know what the three of the things that they have in common is?
Well, no, because I'm thinking, okay, wait, you got one from Spain, you've got one from Mexico, and you have one from France. So we're talking different continents here, Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they are. So I'm cheating a little bit, but I thought the thing they have all have in common is that I would call them visionaries. Now, with John of the Cross, it's a little more tenuous, but we can get to that.
Okay.
Because you got me. Because, of course, Juan Diego, you know, with the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, Catherine Labouré with the miraculous medal.
Wait, what's the difference between a visionary and a mystic?
Oh, they're very different.
Oh, okay. Well,
mystical
just
prayer is just a depth of prayer. Visionary means they had to see someone.
Okay.
Doesn't necessarily have to be the Blessed Mother. I'm very intrigued, Dawn. You got me. I'm hooked.
Okay. All right. So that's a good way to start. So I think all of us think, wouldn't it be awesome to be a visionary? That, you know, when you are dealing with some difficult person in your life or a difficult decision, you would just really love it if our Lord would appear to you and explain things to you, like what to do in this situation. And that's not what happens for visionaries. So we need to have like a completely different understanding of when we talk about visionaries here, that it's a very difficult calling, can be very challenging. And it's not generally for the person's, you know, ease of life. It usually makes their life more difficult.
Right.
So we can start with, for example, St. Juan Diego. So he was born in 1474 in Mexico, as you pointed out. Most people know the story, beautiful story of Our Lady of Guadalupe, you know, how he was a peasant. He was walking on Tepeyac Hill. He saw this beautiful woman, series of visions where he went to the local bishop and said, she told me to tell you to, you know, build a church here. He was disbelieved, you know, and then the beautiful image that was imprinted on his tilma, which is, you know, a cactus fiber cloak that should have only lasted 10 years. It's 500 years old. It survived a bombing attempt. So pretty amazing story from that perspective. But like the one thing that I would like add in here, I think our culture misunderstands a lot about, why did the Spaniards come to the New World to begin with? And we need to remember that they were in part trying to pay off a 700-year war debt from fighting for control of their country. So they came, to find gold to pay off their war debt. But, there were many good people, including Queen Isabella, who, when they discovered that there were people living there, and these people were pagans, participating in human sacrifice and believing in, a lot of really false, vicious gods, that they were, they wanted to bring Christ to them. And Juan Diego and his wife were one of the few people who initially, received that message and embraced the gospel. So he was a very faithful man who traveled, miles, on foot every day, every Sunday to go to Mass. Most of us, we'd be like inconvenienced if we had to drive a few more miles. He had to walk miles to go to Mass. That's why he was, how he received this message. And, and then what did he do after that? So he received this vision, which was not an easy message. Go to a bishop. You don't know him. Wait for hours. He's not going to believe you with this crazy story. Even though millions of people entered the church, of native people entered the church as a result of this beautiful image and his wonderful story, they were opened to the gospel by his message. He was disbelieved by other people. He was, and then he spent the rest of his life, 17 years, telling other people what he had seen. It was not about him. It was about this message. It was, only recently, like in our lifetime, that he was canonized. So I don't want to say he was overlooked, but certainly not, the focus was not on him. It was on this beautiful message. So I think that's a beautiful lesson from San Juan Diego.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And another aspect of his life was he acted as a sexton for the smaller chapel that was initially first built. So if you wanted to come and hear the story, sometimes you had to come and find him sweeping someplace. Mm-hmm. So he certainly didn't look for any earthly accolades, Dawn, which I thought was awesome.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful example. God, God chooses really humble people to impart these messages. So we need to, keep that in mind when we wish for visions.
Amen.
Yeah.
The second saint, St. John of the Cross, was born, lived in the 1500s, and most people know a bit about him. John of the Cross is one of my favorite saints. He has just this very dramatic life story, which is almost painful to tell. His father was from a wealthy family. He was abandoned by his, he was turned away from his family when he married a peasant. It was a love marriage. When he died, his, John's mother went to that family and said, please, will you help me and my three children? He was turned away. So she had to raise these children on her own in poverty in Spain in the 1500s. One of his brothers apparently died of, because they had so little money. Like, it's almost like, was it malnutrition or disease? So they're very poor. So he couldn't, he's a smart kid, but he wasn't very well educated. He tried working as a, got an apprentice as a laborer. That didn't work out. He tried working as a hospital, orderly, basically. That didn't work out. Finally, the Carmelites recognized his request, and he became a Carmelite. And they realized what a treasure they had. They made him a priest. And then he met Teresa of Jesus, St. Teresa of Avila. And she was reforming the Carmelites to make them, more in tune with the original order. So he was on board with that. He and others, some other priests, a couple others, mostly him, founded this Discalced Carmelite Order for Men.
The order welcomed them with open arms, and they just thought, this is wonderful. we of course want to be reformed, right, Dawn? Is that how the story goes?
No, that is not how the story goes, Todd. I mean, once again, things that happened to him, I almost feel sorry telling you this, but he was arrested by kidnapped by members of the Carmelite order who were so offended that you would dare to reform our order. They arrested him. He was imprisoned. He was beaten. He escaped by a miracle. He was able to, the king of Spain had to step in and kind of, tell everybody to start, behave yourselves and stop this. At the end of his life, though, he got in a internal political discussion in the order. The leader of the order basically sent him to a monastery in the middle of nowhere with an abbot who didn't like him and who mistreated him until someone chewed him out. He died kind of alone and forgotten because a couple of priests that he had corrected had spread lies about him. Just this terrible story. But the point is that the man was a spiritual giant. So all the doctors of the church have many writings, but I would argue John of the Cross is the greatest spiritual writer in the history of the church, because he writes spiritual direction, particularly for nuns, explaining what to do, how to pray, things to do, how to become holy.
Yeah.
And the reason I brought him up as a visionary is for, one is kind of like a sarcastic answer, which is, he was very careful to tell people, vision, he explains all these visions, these different levels of visions. He very rarely talks about himself in a way, but I would bet you money that man had multiple visions. He just did not think that they were worth writing down for other people.
He
explains visions, and he talks about, for example, how what we think of as a vision, where you see someone with your eyes. He says that's the lowest form of vision. Mm-hmm. The highest form is when you receive infused knowledge, where God infuses an understanding of something, a theological truth in you. Mm-hmm. You read the Diary of St. Faustina, the woman had infused knowledge. The woman had all these mystical gifts. But you can just see her, and she's an uneducated woman. How did this, she doesn't know what that is, but that's what it is, that God, revealed things to her. Anyway, so he, I think, was a true visionary. He also said famously, he talks about visions in terms of, and as Christmas is coming, we can think of gifts. When you receive a vision, it is a gift, and you should pay attention to the giver more than the gift.
Amen.
Just like you would be upset if you gave someone a Christmas present and they loved the gift and never said thank you,
right?
Mm-hmm. Or never acknowledged that you had given them the gift.
Yeah.
Is he also considered a mystic as well as a visionary?
Because that's where the two kind of meet.
Yes.
I would say if you look up the definition of mystic, he's going to be in a very short list.
Yeah.
But I mean, his poetry alone, Dawn. I mean, it's hard to read, actually. Because it draws you in. And then, you know, in the midst of that fire, you know, that's wonderful, but it's not really consoling. Would you agree?
Oh, I agree. I have read John of the Cross's writings many times, and I hope to live long enough to understand them.
Mm. Wow, that's beautiful.
Because he is so far above us. I mean, and he talks about, he experienced great personal suffering, but he knew how to offer it up to God and how it would make him better, not bitter, as my mother would say.
Amen.
You know, that is a true gift for all of us.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Indeed. All right. Wow. Catherine Labouret.
Okay. St. Catherine Labouret. She was born in 1806 in France into a peasant family. You know, she managed to convince her father to let her enter this order. She became a religious sister at the Sisters of Charity in Paris. Most people know the story. She's a young woman. She's woken by a shining child who takes her to the chapel. While they're in the chapel, there's this woman here, the Blessed Mother, who appears to her and says, I want you to have this, you know, long conversation. I want you to have this medal struck with this, with these two images, which all of us, probably all of your listeners have a miraculous medal somewhere in their house. So you know the two images are full of symbolism. So she obediently went back, told her superiors about what she had happened. This is 1831. 1832, the first medals were struck. 1836, she was brought before a canonical inquiry to verify not only the message, but that the messenger was reliable. In 1842, an atheist man wore one of the medals, and because mostly just to prove that it was worthless and meaningless, and he was converted, became a Catholic, became a priest. Okay, so, and then that happened in 1842. And she died in 1876. So the reason, the key thing I think of with her in terms of as a visionary, she didn't only told her religious superiors about these visions. For 45 years, she remained silent. For 45 years, the people around her knew nothing about this, that, you know, that she was the one who had received these visions.
Wow.
She realized, just like Saint Bernadette, this is, you know, this is for other people. This is not, you know, there's a blessing for me, but this is not for me to go tell other people. I mean, if it was me, I don't know. I don't know, Ellen. What would you say? I would tell everybody I know.
Yeah, especially when they're mistreating you. Well, you don't know who I spoke to. A Blessed Mother.
You like that
chapel.
Miraculous medal?
Right. Well,
you're welcome.
Exactly. So she's an example, like, similar to Juan Diego, very humble. She, you know, like St. Faustina, she was just the doorkeeper. She was, you know, she took care of the poultry. She was, you know, her religious sisters had no idea. They thought she was, she's a holy woman, but they had no idea that this had happened to her because she was so humble. And that's another great lesson for her.
I think too, Dawn, the great lesson in here too is that the way that you humbly receive gifts from God and don't bring glory to yourselves, and all three of them did this in the capacity, they received something they probably didn't even know how great or the value was. And that's kind of God's beautiful way of keeping people like that humble, because the message is more important than the person. And sadly, our culture today, everyone thinks they, as the messengers, are the most important thing. And you can just see, if you get back to kind of this true understanding in a faith life, we all could be a lot better, or the world could be a lot better, if we're all a little more humble like these saints.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you, and there you go. If you want to have a vision, if you want God to appear to you, well, then humble yourself. Mm-hmm. Take the lowest place. Recognize that, you know, you are not worthy of such a gift.
Yeah, I don't think I want a vision. I don't.
No, me neither.
When I was younger, I did. I wanted all those mystical experiences and all that kind of stuff. And then I recognized, just as you talked about, especially like with John of the Cross, he was imprisoned for like 9 months. Mm-hmm. In this tiny little cell, where all they did was slide in, you know, his food, and he would slide out the bucket. I mean, that's not fun, Dawn. That doesn't sound fun.
No, it's not. No. and so he is actually a very particularly difficult spiritual understanding to explain, because he understands suffering and he knows how to handle, you know, hand it to God. And I think I don't know about you, but I would be much happier to skip the suffering part. but that's how God leads us to Him.
Amen.
Being refined like gold there, Dawn. That's what's happening.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
Good. Yeah. So good. Thank you, Dawn. Thank you.
Appreciate
that. Thank you.
We love the stories when you come on. Tell us about the saints of the month. Those are some of the saints of month for December.
So now we feel closer to the saints.
Yeah. Or inadequate. Dawn Buettner, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Oh.
So good. So good.
I know. Dan Burke's going to join the show next. We're going to continue our series on the interior life. He's going to have some help for us next.
It's like a spiritual 1-2 punch.
Oh, on LA Catholic Morning. Stay with us.
If home is where the heart is, then my heart lives by the bay.
Oh.
Does your inner self feel
well, uplifted? Anytime Dan Burke's coming yes. on the show, I'm going to feel a little better. Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning. Dan Burke's joining the show. He started this series with us on interior life and spirituality, which is something a lot of us don't think about or often enough in our hectic lives. But he is chairman and president of the Avila Institute. Avila. See, I said it wrong.
It's okay.
Put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. Dan, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
It's great to be with you. No penalties, by the way, for the wrong syllable.
So at this point in time, you know, Advent, unfortunately, doesn't get the focus spiritually in growing as Lent does. But it is a time where we're supposed to be asking questions, isn't it, Dan?
Yeah, and of course the readings from the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass really point us to this over and over before we entered into Advent. And of course, even today, it was very cool to, as I was waiting in the green room, so to speak, to come on the show. It's beautiful that you have the readings in the Mass. What's interesting about the reading for today is that the lectionary omits verses 21 through 23 in Matthew, which has some important kinds of perspective for these kinds of questions for Lent. It says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'Depart from me, I never knew you, evildoers.'" What's fascinating about that is saying "Lord, Lord" to Jesus is the will of the Father. Prophesying in his name is the will of the Father. Casting out demons in his name is the will of the Father. Doing mighty works in his name is the will of the Father. Then how is it possible that Jesus then says to them, "In your final judgment, I'm going to say to you, I never knew you"?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what shakes you to the core. I mean, I had a conversation with my youngest son, and he's like, "Well, Dad, we should do this." And I said, "Well, is that what God wants?" And it wasn't a bad thing that he wanted to do. But I'm like, that's the question that we need to be asking, right, Dan?
Yeah, it is. But how do you know the answer to that question? It's revealed in verse 23. And that is in the word, "I never knew you," that word "knew." And I may have shared this with you before, but it was a powerful discovery for me when I looked up the Greek of that word and saw the connection between the translation of the Old Testament from Hebrew to Greek by the Jews. So this is the official translation, if you will, in early centuries. And it's called the Septuagint.
Septuagint, yeah.
So the passage in Genesis where it says Adam knew Eve, it's the same word. So the Jews chose to translate that Hebrew word "knew" in this using the same Greek word that the Gospel of Matthew uses here, where he says, "I never knew you," which gives us clarity then on what does this all really mean. It means that unless we truly know God, and this is what you alluded to, Todd, unless you truly know him and are following him, even the good works that you do are not going to do you any good. Because, of course, we know the Pharisees did a lot of good works. They were the ones who, they were the Orthodox Catholics of the day, the Pharisees. They had some things wrong, of course, but they were the ones who were following, they believed in the resurrection, they were following Jewish law, all of that. But they had, as Jesus noted, neglected the weightier matters of the law, which had to do with mercy and love. And Jesus uses these beautiful prophetic passages from the Old Testament where God is saying, I don't want your stupid sacrifice. I want your heart. Really, I'm, of course, paraphrasing. Mm-hmm. I want your heart. Now, did he want sacrifice? Yes, because the Lord is the one who implemented the sacrificial system to cleanse his people from their sins and allow them to approach him, you know, in the temple. But the issue is we must know him. We must know him at this intimate level, which only comes through prayer and, of course, a proper disposition in receiving the Blessed Sacrament. But even that is aided by prayer. But if we don't have an intimate relationship with Jesus, this is not a Protestant idea, by the way. It's a Catholic idea. If we don't know him, as Jesus says, then all the good works that we do are going to be for naught because they're not done motivated by love, if that makes sense.
So are you thinking the word new in the two instances where you've translated in the Bible means more apt to, like, love? I never loved you.
Intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's intimacy. So when you think about the use in Genesis, is Adam knew Eve, it means that's speaking of the marital embrace. That's the highest degree of intimacy between two holy persons that humanity can experience, right? And so he's saying, it's of course not sexual, but he's saying this level of intimacy that I desire of you is a level of intimacy. And of course, the listeners of his time would have understood this because they would have understood the Greek and understood, or, you know, how it related to their faith and other sayings of Jesus. It's that the unity between a husband and a woman is both, or the marital embrace is both procreative. It creates new life and it's unitive. It creates a deep bond between persons. Well, that's supposed to be true of our relationship with God. It creates new life. How is that so? It starts Catholic radio stations. It starts Catholic radio programs. It works in the heart of, you know, your producer, Mike Romano, to, you know, give his life for the kingdom, even though it's not very, you know, doesn't pay all that well. You know, it has all of these effects that create new life, and it's unitive in that it draws us into union with God, which later on Jesus speaks about this idea of being one with God or in union with God's will, which is holiness, right? So we've got to know him in a deep, intimate way so that our acts that we pursue, our, you know, acts of faith, like going to Mass and doing all the good things we do, are motivated by out of love, not by checking the box. Yeah. If that makes sense.
It does. Now, you talk about the most important question a person should be asking at this time of year. What is that, Dan?
So the question is, and it relates to this passage, I was so happy to hear that you guys read it on the air, and that is this. Ask someone who knows you the best, your spouse, your best friend, or whatever, and if you're really brave, ask three people, am I holier than I was this time last year?
Oh.
Am I more loving? Am I more patient? Love, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. These fruits of the Spirit, are they more evident in me this time, this year, than they were last year? And if the answer is no, then probably what's going on is we're missing something related to understanding what it means to be in a relationship with Christ. Because when you're in a deep relationship with Jesus, you change and the world changes around you, and both of those realities are inevitable. When things are not quite right, those things don't happen, and we get the answers to those, to that one central question that probably won't make us feel all that good, But the good news is the entire divine economy is ordered that we might come to union with God, says the Catechism.
Right.
So the good news is all the means necessary to come close to the Lord and resolve that problem are available to us.
Now, what do you recommend? You say the means are there, but our listeners, I think a lot of them are feeling kind of the way I'm feeling. I think I already know the answer. Mm-hmm. I don't need to ask anyone. I don't really think
pretty much know the answer.
Yeah, because it's not noticeable. I mean, if there was growth, unfortunately, it probably wasn't enough.
Yeah, I mean, I want to offer the answer in a not in such an easy way, because I think, as you know, the answers aren't always easy.
Yeah.
And one of the things I've done for you and your listeners is put together an Advent Examine. So it's a guide for this season of Advent that will help you to go deeper in understanding what is the state of your relationship with God. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful PDF document, kind of a little mini book, if you will. Mm-hmm. And then for your listeners today, I will also give them a free signed copy of Into the Deep. And all they got to do is send an email to questions@myavila.com. And the way to understand how to spell Avila is, it's like Avila, Spain, but the questions at MyAvila is M as in Mary, Y as in yellow, A as in apple, V as in Victor, ILA.com. You send an email there, I'll send you a copy of the book. We'll send you the Advent Examine. And what will happen, Todd, because you know this, is it'll help you to dig down and find what are those areas that are not yet conformed to Christ in terms of my relationship with God and my relationship with those who are closest to me.
Right.
When you discover those with some precision, then the next step is we begin to just pick one, maybe for God and one maybe for our spouse or those who we influence, and just start working on it this year. That's a much better approach to New Year's resolutions, which are coming up in 9 days or whatever it is, 30 days.
Right.
So that when we come to this time again next year, we are closer to Christ because we are working on conforming those aspects of our lives which are out of sync with what his desire is for us. And the reason I'm sending the book for free, and the book is Into the Deep, Finding Peace Through Prayer, is because that book teaches you how to build intimacy with Jesus. And it's incredibly simple. You can read it in an hour. It takes a decade to live it, to figure out how to live it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyone can read it in an hour. And what it'll do is it'll help you answer this question. How will I know that I know Jesus, right? And back to your conversation with your son, Todd, you know, how is it that I know God's will? If I have multiple goods to choose from, how do I know which one is God's will? The other stuff is kind of obvious, like not sinning, but there's a deeper reality that he's calling us to every year, this Advent. Jesus is coming again. Why not prepare our hearts this year differently than every other year? Why not make this coming year different than every other year so that when we meet him face to face in our judgment, we hear well done, good and faithful servant, instead of the horrifying alternative, which is depart from me, I never knew you.
I never knew you. Mm-hmm. I hate that.
I think, Dan, some of the challenges we have today is we're so distracted. We are distracted in this busy world, and this all sounds great, Dan, man, well, he's got it all together. And, you know, sadly, some of us will turn off the radio and just go back to maybe the superficial way we're celebrating Advent.
We're on Twitter, and we're on Amazon.
Yes, because I got things to do. Rather than taking the opportunity to really reflect on some of the words you said and what we really should strive for. I mean, the world is going to be busy around us every day. And if you don't take the time and make it intentional to grow deeper, it's not going to happen just by, you know, osmosis. So I think that's really a good point. We really need to stop and take the time to do these things, to grow our relationship, because you just don't want to get to the end of Advent and it's the same old, you're exhausted, it's Christmas, I'm done. And you didn't get anywhere. You didn't grow any deeper. You didn't love anymore. I mean, and so that's what we should strive for. And I think you put it really well, asking those hard, important questions we need to ask of ourselves.
Yeah, I agree. It's well stated. And I think, some people might think it's just this step that's way too high, way too far. Mm-hmm. I can't do this. I don't know what he's talking about. He's strange, whatever. But the good news is all it is about, like, if you want to change your life this year, open the Gospels for 5 minutes every single morning. Mm-hmm. And get to know the one who you are claiming for your salvation, right? Get to know the one, yesterday, I think the feast of the apostle Andrew, the epistle reading said, you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Well, what does it mean to confess him, right? What does James say to me? It means that we both assent and embrace the reality that Jesus is our Lord, but then we also live it. So how do we live it? Well, we have to learn to love him and know him and emulate him in order to live like him and live in him and walk in him. And that's how we solve this problem that Jesus poses in Matthew, in Matthew chapter 22. And that all that will take, I promise your listeners, and that's why I'm giving the book away for free to everyone who's listening to the show today, but you got to send it in today to questions@myavila.com, is read Into the Deep, which will teach you in the most simple way that I could possibly muster, the most clear way, what to do every morning to meet him in a new way for 5 minutes, 10 minutes in the Gospels. And I promise you, you will not call me next year and say, you're a liar, nothing happened. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just not possible to be in the presence of Jesus or to pursue him, because he promises in James 4:7, resist the devil, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. And our God is not a liar. So no matter how busy our lives are, everybody's got 5 minutes, even if it's just getting up 10 minutes earlier, even if it's hiding in your car, if you got a large family, and telling your husband, please take care of the kids for 5 minutes or I'm going to go crazy. I need to go be with Jesus. Mm-hmm. Whatever it takes, start setting aside that time and everything will change for you. And I promise you that.
Now, how do we deal with the letting go, Dan? I mean, the struggles that I have, obviously I have trust issues, even with God, which is silly, but it's the letting go. Because as you know, as we get deeper and deeper, that's when we realize the stuff that we white knuckle in our lives. And Jesus, yeah, like, you've got to release all of this. I mean, how do we take those steps in that direction?
You know what's cool about that question? Is all you've got to do, Todd, is hang out with Jesus.
Amen.
Right? What would it be like in the first century if you're walking with him? And you come and the day when you're ready, because there's a point when we're all ready to get healed at various stages, he looks in you in the eyes. He says, Todd, today is the day. What are you going to say? Mm-hmm. Of course, today is the day to the Lord. I give my heart to you. But the key is we have to be walking with him for those moments to occur, just like they occurred with the apostles. Of course, many of them were healed of many things before they were set out to change the world. And they were healed, and they were empowered, and they were strengthened because they were in the presence of Jesus. So there's like no formulaic answer to that question, but it is true that as we begin to spend time with him every day, he begins to reveal who we really are, who he really is, and what are the barriers between us that he gave his life for, that he became a human being, which we're celebrating in this month, fully God and fully man. He dwelt among us to show us his love and the love of the Father so that we might turn to him and follow him more closely.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Kali, I love when you come on.
And I think it's too, it's something personally we have to choose. We can't change the people around them to make them. I wish they would be more like that. We really have to make it ourselves and be that ourselves, what you're talking about, in growing closer, because then we will slowly change the world around us. Many times we worry that person across the room needs to change, or across the household.
No. Yeah, you got it right. The orders you have is exactly right. You and Jesus first, and then the rest will fall into place naturally.
Amen. Dan Burke, I love talking to you. Can't wait for you to continue this series with us. Remember, you can send in an email to Dan. He's going to send you his book for free, signed today, questions@myavila.com. questions@myavila.com. Dan Burke, thanks for joining us.
God bless you guys.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks. Awesome.
So good.
I don't have that book. I'm going to go email him after the show.
I'm doing it right now.
Oh, you're so
bad. One step ahead of you.
Oh, look at you. Rob Herbst joining the show next. We're going to see what's in the Catholic Week. So stay with us.
It's now that time for the Archdiocese of Mobile's greatest journalist ever.
Forever?
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Rob Herbst. You want pictures? He's got them. You want cool stories? He's got great hair and great stories. And now, get ready for your mind to be blown again. I mean, just wow, man. Here is Rob Herbst with the Catholic Week Rundown.
Oh, well, after that big intro, I don't know how he's going
to
talk.
Ready to blow those minds.
Yeah. Ah,
he always does, especially on the stats on Friday nights.
Yeah, you should add that to the promo. Oh, so Rob Herbst joining us. We take a look because Friday's every other Friday, the Catholic Week comes out, and he is our editor-in-chief and has put together that for us. But before we get there, you sent us this article that's a little disconcerting to those in Catholic journalism. The demise of the Catholic archdiocesan newspapers. Is that a trend here, Rob? And should we be worried?
Well, I can't speak for anything in the Archdiocese of Mobile and the Catholic Week. You know, we've been blessed with the great support here. But the headline of this story from the Catholic News Service, loss of print media seen as posing challenge to U.S. church communication. Mm-hmm. And much like in the secular world, how newspapers are struggling these days, you know, look right here in Mobile and, the print copy going bye-bye. This article describes it as a day of reckoning for Catholic newspapers, as well as we have fewer and fewer diocesan and national Catholic publications in this country. And the numbers are pretty eye-opening that in 2006, not all that long ago, mm-hmm. there were 196 Catholic newspapers in the U.S. with 6.5 million in circulation. Mm-hmm. Now in 2020, there are 118 with 3.8 million in circulation. So, you know, in terms of circulation, a little less than more than half than what it was in 2006. And in Canada, there were 9 Catholic newspapers in 2006. And in 2020, there were 2.
Right.
So, same thing goes with magazines as well. So,
Well, they're still producing news. They're just maybe making it in digital forms.
Sure.
Or some just dropping news altogether.
Some are dropping, news altogether. Some have gone to a purely digital format. Catholic New York has done that, which was the paper of the Archdiocese of New York. Obviously, a huge Catholic population in New York. They have eliminated their publication. Their last issue was a couple weeks ago. And now they've gone to an all digital format, but still, you know, social media and digital habits. Many of our readers are a little bit older, you would say. So many still prefer the print publication. And along with just going to a digital format, though, budgets are obviously hurting in many dioceses because of COVID. Here in the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. And so it's a little scary what's out there these days.
Would you say, though, that that's just the way things are going? I mean, you made reference to the Mobile Register. I mean, isn't it just kind of the trend of, I guess, the future, Rob?
Well, I mean, if you gave me the truth serum, I guess so. It's the way. And, but at certain places, things move quicker than others in terms of the trends. Mm-hmm. So, one more trend that you see in diocese, too, are going to a magazine format because much because it's cheaper. There's a national company that produces diocesan magazines for various dioceses. But our friends in Birmingham did that. I don't know if it was this year or last year. Recently, they moved from a newspaper format to a magazine format. And, there's advantages and disadvantages to that. But, it's certainly a trend to go more digital than putting emphasis on the print publication.
Well, good thing, Rob, you've got Archangel Radio here that you can come on and tell the news to us if that day ever comes. But there's opportunities
still
here.
But it's true. Again, we receive great support here from the Archdiocese.
Yes.
We receive great support from advertisers. And so those are two huge factors.
Right.
And, you know.
So what do we have in this week's issue that you're highlighting for us?
So lead stories, Christ the King, Solemnity of Christ the King, always a big day here in the Archdiocese, as we have the procession in downtown Mobile from Bienville Square to the cathedral, followed by the along with Mass and the awarding of the Christ the King medals. That each parish has the opportunity to nominate somebody for the Christ the King Medal for displaying their faith and their works. And so always a great day. And let me tell you, that day, it was cold that day. Mm-hmm. So I don't mind telling you. So that was, but still a beautiful day there. That was on November 20th this year, the Sunday before Thanksgiving. So go check out our list of Christ the King Medal winners for sure.
Awesome.
Various councils of the Knights of Peter Claver celebrated Founders Day. For those who do not know, the Knights of Peter Claver was founded at Most Pure Heart of Mary Parish in 1909. Exactly, and it's the largest historically black Catholic lay fraternal order. And so they were founded in November 1909, so that Founders Day was last month. So they celebrated that, so cool stuff there.
That is cool.
St. Columba over in Dothan. Did something cool earlier this month with their Fall Heritage Potluck. Attendees brought dishes representing their various backgrounds, and, you know, they had maps on the wall, and you got to put your thumbtack as to, you know, where you were originally from. They had a map of the United States and a map of the world. So some put the, you know, dot on the United States. Others put it on the, you know, in a different country.
Oh, that's
on
cool.
That, global map.
I just want to get my plate and walk around the
room. I was going to say, I know.
Yeah, some of these foods, I mean, they went from rigatoni to tamale. I mean, it was everything over there. So, yeah, so that was cool what was going on there in Dothan at St. Columba. Each year here, back closer to downtown Mobile, a school class decorates the Christmas tree at the Chancery. And this year's honor went to Little Flower Catholic Schools, fourth and fifth graders.
Oh,
so they got to decorate
fun.
The tree. Mm-hmm. Did a beautiful job. And really, when you think about it, this is a pretty ingenious idea over here at the Chancery, you know.
Yeah.
Kids like to decorate it. You know, you get your tree decorated, and, you know, you give them some milk and cookies. Oh. And,
now, wait.
I'm surprised the Herbst household hasn't partaken
of this. I know. I'm thinking
about
this. Well, exactly.
But wait, do they bring their own ornaments?
No,
how does this work?
Get them out of the attic.
Yeah, so they make their ornaments as well. Yep, exactly.
Bring
their own
ornaments. Man, that's cool.
Yeah, so there are a lot of angels on the tree here at the over at the Chancery this year. So. They did a great job, cool ornaments. And, it's kind of a neat tradition for sure over here in that. Mm-hmm. So, and then in national news, the USCCB meetings were last month, and one of the big topics was fraternal dialogue among the bishops. So take a look at that. It's the happenings of the USCCB. Our columnists are back, and you may notice an Advent trend here. Archbishop Brody and the story of true hope this Advent. Pat Ahrensberg on Advent being a time to anticipate and be joyful. So true there. And then from the Little Sisters of the Poor, Sister Constance Veit on going from darkness into light this Advent. Tex Phelps, the director of youth and young adult ministry here in the Archdiocese, did not get the memo about Advent, though. So he writes on every encounter being a chance to evangelize. So, he's changing
the
name.
There's always one in every column.
But good stuff. Always one, exactly. But good stuff from Tex there. And Deacon Hector and Hispanic Ministries, they had a recent retreat for women and high school girls, and it was titled You Were Created Woman. Mm-hmm. So, read all about that from Deacon Hector and run to that mailbox at the Catholic Week.
Indeed.
That's good. Well, Rob Herbst, always good. We will keep the print alive so we have Rob Herbst around for a long, long time.
All right. Sounds good to me. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks, Rob, for joining us.
All right, see ya.
Thanks, Rob.
Oh, that's funny. I mean, it's not funny. It is the nature, you know, what happens in the secular world happens in the Catholic world, too, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's certain things that we're going to be able to hold back the tides.
Yes.
But something like print media, I mean, I know Rob's not going to like this, but if it's going away, then it's going to go away pretty much everywhere.
Yeah. Have you ever seen those, like, videos online where they try to explain to, like, a under 20-year-old how you used to get the newspaper thrown on your front lawn?
I used to be the guy that would throw it.
I know. But
I had a paper route.
That's how you got news? You waited for him to print it overnight and throw a piece of papers on your
yard?
Yes, yard?
You did. And you're welcome that I got up so early in the morning. I mean, I had that awesome bag, you know, that would hold the newspapers.
Did you ride your bike or did you walk?
I did ride my bike.
Yeah.
Because
in the winter?
In the winter.
Ugh.
Through the snow. I mean,
uphill.
Hey, babe, it was a lot uphill. Not both ways, but it was uphill.
Oh.
And you're welcome.
Yeah. That's funny. We thank our L.A. Catholic Morning sponsor, Naaman's Catering. Holiday time's family time. Naaman's makes your holiday simple with main dishes, sides, desserts, and more. Visit Naaman'sCatering.com or call 251-473-3900 to make your holiday meal simple. Tomorrow is Friday.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, your favorite day. Tom McDonald previews the new season of The Chosen, Season 3, Episodes 1 and 2. Mm. So get that. Lisa Murphy has what's trending in Catholic news, and Father Andrew Jones provides our Sunday gospel reflection.
And again, if you want to get that offer from Dan Burke,
yes,
you would email questions@myavila.com. Just ask for the Advent Examine, and he will also send his book on prayer.
Into the Deep, a signed copy of his book.
Nice.
Yeah.
I already sent my email.
I got to go do mine now.
All right. Way ahead of the game. All right, first week of Advent, let's grow in relationship with Christ. Thanks so much for listening to LA Catholic Morning. God bless you all.
Don't forget to call your mama. She loves you.